Ferrer's made a preliminary talk and walking meditation on Tuesday morning, 17th of May.
We all live very self-enclosed lives. All our senses function only partially. And because of this deep-seated self-interest and self-orientedness, we take into our consciousness only what we wish to take in. When a person is talking, for instance, a part of the brain is just waiting to hear what we want to hear, because that confirms what we also think. And if that is not confirmed, the speaker is a poor speaker. You see? The result is that we live in this state of disunity with all existence. This is a fundamental meaning of the word sin. Not merely the moralistic meaning of going against the moralities, social, business, etc., which are laid down. We live in disunity. If we do not observe, that is, utilize our senses in full measure, we shall never find, or rather, let me put it the right way, enlightenment will never shine through us. This is one of the reasons why no one can acquire enlightenment. Because the whole idea of acquisition implies a separate, special thing. You see? So now, this applies also within the limited sphere of our own bodily existence. We are not wholly self-aware to start with, limiting the word self to our psychophysical organism. That is one of the reasons why we have this remarkable exercise in Buddhist practice of learning to be wholly self-aware. I am sitting thus, I am walking thus, I am looking, listening, touching thus and thus. To be fully self-aware. But this is just the letter A of the alphabet of the full discipline. It's a starting point. It's a starting point which at first emphasizes the self-enclosing consciousness. It emphasizes it. We are all the time concerned with ourselves, as people in the outer world say, that they are only selfish. But of course, they don't penetrate into the deeper aspects of it all. Because if you start that way and reach its end point, or begin to approach its end point, you find that the end point is not a point, but the whole universe. Because there's no meaning to I am sitting thus, or walking thus, or talking thus, or seeing or hearing or touching thus, and so forth. The word I loses its specific meaning. Now we can help that specific meaning to become the universal meaning of the word I by extending this type of walking or doing whatever we are doing by observing that which is around us in terms of its total self, which includes each one of us. It's not so we'll go out walking using our eyes, seeing what there is to be seen, what comes easily and naturally within the purview of our sense of sight, and similarly with our sense of hearing, and take it all in. Take it all in non-graspingly. Just vibrating in response to every impression. That's all. Don't grasp it, don't hold it. Don't judge it. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that awful? These thoughts will arise, of course. You can't avoid them. Then be well aware that attachment and aversion are functioning here. You see, it's very, very difficult to do that. Extremely difficult. But if you do it successfully, there comes the point when the freedom from attachment and aversion enables the functioning of Avalokiteshvara to take place. He who sees the totality. And when you see the totality like that, inevitably there is the active embodiment of compassion through your psychophysical organism. It's extremely difficult to do it, because this eradication of the deep-seated attachments and aversions which we all have is no easy process. And it is not a process of eradication in the sense of taking something which you don't need or which ought not to be there and throwing it out. That attachment, that aversion is my own psychical energy. If I were to eradicate it, I shall be left without any psyche whatsoever. I'll be left a brainless, driveling idiot. You see? So, it's the transformation of that ill state, that misformation of the psyche, which takes place by recognizing thus it is, thus it is, thus it is, you see. And the attachments and aversions dissolve and are themselves transformed into transcendent virtue. You know the statement made in Zen, for example, as well as Mahayana, that the kleshas, the sins, the evil states and so forth, the faults, are modes of salvation. They are. But you see, this is our personal responsibility. We have to make it so. So now, we'll just walk together and observe and be fully, as fully awake as possible. And try and make it as fully, this is a wrong way of expressing it. Let it be fully awake as possible without personal effort. Something which I have to do or achieve. Let it happen. See, the human beings, especially in our developed, advanced countries, are the most unspontaneous, unnatural creatures of the human kingdom. Our education and upbringing is very largely responsible for all that. And hence the neuroses and psychoses and the state of perpetual war between man and man. And you see how this disease is breaking out all over the world. Not only in advanced countries, but in the so-called third world or fourth world or umpteenth world, whichever you like.
Don't wander away. Avoid talking. Definitely avoid all talking. What are we walking upon? Earth.
Grass.
Earth.
How does it work? How is that?
Having said grass, earth, pictured it in the mind, we think in terms of I am walking on grass, earth, something different from me. We are walking upon ourselves. Are we really aware of it? That we are walking upon ourselves. The whole materially manifested universe is one totality. It is this brain, conditioned as it is, which cuts us off from the totality. I am walking on grass, on earth, on hard pavements, etc. Don't be unaware that the pavement is the pavement and grass is the grass. But at the same time, feel the oneness with it. Most of us, all of us are having vegetarian food at least this week. We are grass eaters this week. And this is the walking on the grass is a communicating between grass or earth and the psychophysical organs. Feel it. Sense it. See, we are so cut off from nature in this century as never before in human history. We are cut off from that which makes the constituents of our own bodily being. And we deliberately emphasize and uphold that cutting off, which is an act of hate against Mother Earth. It's an act of disowning. Is it not? It is a faithless act, an act of infidelity to the truth, the fact. The earth doesn't disown us, otherwise the earth would be shooting us out of itself, and we'd be fumbling about in space. Let's be awake to that. Same with the wind, the sun, the clouds, the trees, everything. It is intelligent awareness, an intelligent awareness, not just a thought, a pleasing thought, that would be just our pleasure drive at work again. But this intelligent awareness of our unity with all the elements of nature restores that unity and makes it function extraordinarily through the psychophysical human being. Because it is through the human that transcendence flows into all this. See? So, this is the great self, so to say. The unborn, the undying great self. That which is from beginning unto beginning. Unto beginning. Endless. And you'll find this way that it will help to diminish the aversion which we have in ourselves. This is a very real yoga, a very powerful yoga. Let's keep somewhat similar together. Remembering also that our judgments are the judgments of a conditioned mind.
Yes. But I thought you said one should avoid doing this.
Some people love Beethoven or Mozart.
Yeah.
I'm sure there must be some who love Stockhausen. And a good many people might find it rather difficult to put Stockhausen under the composers rather than the decomposers.
Surrounded by no, well, I mean, it's not nature from a green thing, it's cement and plastic. Now, do you still try to maintain the same attitude?
Yeah,
I mean, it's difficult.
What is cement and concrete but Mother Nature?
Well, plastic and no, nothing growing, nothing alive, well, alive, really, you know?
Of course, this is where the difficulty comes.
It's easy.
This is where the difficulties arise. Because we are conditioned. And therefore we say that this is beauty and that is love. With it arises attachment and aversion.
If you're walking over endless miles of macadam and cement, what do you feel? I mean, do you say this is I am walking on this is same.
Observe what you feel. See, neither be repelled by it, nor be attached to it.
The religious discipline is a tremendously difficult one.
I don't think, you know, it's only been fairly recently that so many, the majority of much of the population has lived in unnatural surroundings, so far removed from so-called nature. In the big cities, in the cement, far removed, you know, from anything that we've biologically become accustomed to.
Well, for the present, here we are. And let's utilize the present.
Yeah.
This leads us out of the place, doesn't it? Whilst the eyes are looking, see, let there be total seeing. Seeing with your whole being, fully. Whilst the ears are listening, let there be total hearing. And so on. One result of that will be that the brain will tend to stop talking. Notice, whilst the eyes are seeing or the ears are hearing, the brain is talking back at the whole thing, asking questions. Deciding for or against what is being seen, what is being heard. This way, we diminish our real sensibility, our power fully to use our senses. See, when the brain, the chatter in the brain dies down, then we are being more and more in the state of communion. No, there is the separation between the one and the other is being diminished. The unifying with the totality just naturally takes place. It isn't brought about. It is not, we humans as we are, we mechanically synthesize, mechanically put together. This is one of the meanings underlying the word sankata, putting together mechanically. What's put together mechanically is mortal, it falls apart, it's unstable, it's untrue, unreal. What is. And if we allow the isness to emerge fully into awareness, into our awareness, then that is the religiousness within us coming more and more to fruition. You see the consequence of it. Aversion, malevolence, they all go together. Also, attachment and the passion to possess and so forth. And as they all change, and this pure thing comes into being, then the world, the totality, transcendence, God, use what word you like, is knowing itself, knowing in its, at its own transcendental level. You see, this is the act of worship. The ritual of the process of the emergence of the true person, the true person out of all of us personalities. The personality is a false mask. It's the usurper of the true person. And the true person, the Purusha, is the one in whom all evil-mindedness is burnt out. But we have to let it happen. That is why the right use of the senses is so important. It's not a case of I am deliberately using my senses rightly. I am just not preventing the senses from functioning fully. We all understand prevention is better than cure, don't we? Now, this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity within a favorable circumstance. The peace and the beauty and the wonder of nature is favorable. The clatter and noise of the city, the town, the world of bustle and all the rest of it. The washing and the scrubbing and the getting the dinner ready before the guest arrives and all the rest of it is not quite such a favorable circumstance. So, this is why I have called this sort of thing meditative walking. You know, in Buddhist terminology, it's called mindful walking. Similarly, there is mindful seeing and so forth. But don't let it get restricted or restricted. Let it be whole and complete. And then there emerges out of our own being, out of our individual being here and now, a state of order of cosmos, not disorder. We don't know the meaning of order really, but this marvelous order which emerges from within. And that is beauty, a beauty which is quite indefinable. And you see that if that beauty really begins to function, it's all dormant within ourselves, all dormant, but if that beauty really begins to function in ourselves, then one of the wonderful results is we get completely free from all vanity, personal vanity, and egocentricity. These things disappear. We have the wrong type of caring in our lives. You don't find the birds or the animals or the trees going to beauty parlors, do you? The beautiful is manifest in them, through them, and they are blissfully unconscious of it in themselves. So they are happy. And their bank balance remains undepleted. During the week, whenever you get the opportunity on your own, walk and let the senses function freely like this. You will appreciate the meaning of the yoga of unification. All yoga is a unification, really. The restoration of the prodigal son who went out. The restoration of that prodigal son back to his father's home. And you see, the dormant powers within the human psyche will come to fruition, and through the clean and unhindered functioning of the senses, the secrets of existence will reveal themselves to you. There will emerge a knowledge which is beyond and outside all words. But a knowledge which will be no different from true wisdom. Because it will not be any longer a case of I, the separate person, seeing or hearing, but a case of the transcendent seeing and hearing and knowing itself. And the passage of time will be transformed into the constant awareness of eternity. We make time by our separateness. Otherwise, there is only eternity, within which anything and everything, this multitudinous variety which exists in the one universal wholeness, this multitudinous variety will no longer be something separate, and therefore making an illusory movement of time in eternity. Eternity contains it all. And the variety is only the changing face of the eternity. You see how completely different life becomes. If these things are not merely thoughts,
If they are merely thoughts, then indeed they are highfalutin nonsense. But when they have become gone beyond the range of thoughts and freed them and become freed from the tyranny of the time thought process, then the burden of unnecessary sorrow that man heaps upon himself will be non-existent. And this beauty and order, this state of unity, the ekagrata state as it is called in samadhi, the unified mind state, will be just you yourself, the individual, become that whole. That wonderful expression in Pali, which doesn't exist, as far as I'm aware, in any of the other languages, you make become. Because it's all a becoming process, isn't it? The totality of the whole of manifestation is a changing, becoming process. And because we are aware, we are conscious in this separatist manner, we make become that process in terms of pain and sorrow and mortality. But when that changes, when we really understand, one no longer hinders the eternity of it all, and you make become immortality. Why is it that through all the scriptures you find this extraordinary promise by the great ones that you realize immortality, which simply does not mean a continuity of entity through time and space. It doesn't mean that at all. The undyingness of existence is continuously bound up with its immediate birth. Its birth, its change. Its birth, its change. Then the fear of death and all the innumerable fears that are the children of the fear of death, they all disappear. I mean, simple things like this, walking, seeing, tasting. If you taste your food non-possessively, you will stop being a greedy guzzler. You will stop feeling that you are starving simply because it's 5 minutes past 1 o'clock and you haven't had your lunch. In other words, we just begin to be sensible and not utterly stupid. Isn't that so? And this chatter in the brain stops. And the brain becomes a pure instrument, perfectly tuned, attuned to transcendence itself, as the supreme possibility of the physical brain. This possibility of the attunement to transcendence. And then when you speak, what you speak will be wisdom itself. It'll be prophecy, prophetic speech. The prophet is the deliverer of reality to mankind through the use of his voice. here. One may see it, touch it, know it, realize it. Don't ask questions of these things as they happen within you, because that's the way to spoil it. The questions mean that one is trying to drag down to the limited possessive level that which is infinite and beyond all possibility of possession. Then that man is a pure man, a simple man, in the supreme sense of the word simplicity. And you see the consequences of such things, the end of exploitation, man by man, of the earth by man. Man lives suicidally. That will change. You know, in the fragmentary teachings which are left of the teachings of Pythagoras, there is one very remarkable statement: and then when you have reached the purest ether and gone beyond it, you will be an immortal God. And of course the ordinary reader, the ordinary hearer says, oh, I'm going to be an immortal God. Come on, lads. No, no. Understand like this. And the words of the Buddha, for example, opened are the doors of the deathless, suddenly become a complete reality. What are the doors of the deathless but our own senses? All right, I'll stop there today.